the Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Garth Nicholson. Dr. Nicholson is an expert in intracellular infections, neurodegenerative diseases, and research on many of the more esoteric diseases that are not well studied. We first did interviews back, I'd say, over 10 years ago. And our first interview was interesting because when we were talking about the Gulf War syndrome, every single radio line to the radio station went down, and we had to finish the interview at a different time. So Dr. Nicholson's been involved in really cutting-edge research, and he's here today to catch us up on that research. Welcome, Dr. Nicholson. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be back.
So, fibromyalgia. Every single patient I see with breast implant disease has fibromyalgia. And, of course, the regular medical community would put that patient on Lyrica or a similar drug. And the ones on TV say that it's due to an abnormal nerve response, which is just a descriptive thing, which really doesn't mean anything about the cause of it. But in my experience, treating many patients, fibromyalgia seems to be either due to mold or yeast biotoxins. Even if you don't have mold in your body, if you breathe in a lot of biotoxins, you can get fibromyalgia. And then, of course, the intracellular infections, which you're an expert on, especially the mycoplasmas cause fibromyalgia. And basically, without treating the cause of these diseases, It seems to me that it might be difficult to really get a handle on them. What is your experience with that?
Well, I think the key point is that there are multiple infections involved in these chronic disorders or diseases. And certainly fibromyalgia. I mean, I think more than any other patient group, we found multiple infections in fibromyalgia patients. And, of course, that includes besides the fungi and mold that you mentioned. Intracellular bacteria is very important in these patients. And we've seen a lot of this, and this goes back, 20 years or more ago, when I was still in Houston. And we were having people come to us. This was during the Gulf War problem, and we were seeing a lot of patients who were veterans. And then because of their signs and symptoms, we were getting calls from implant patients that had the same problems, or they didn't know what to do about it, and neither did their physicians. So they contacted us, and we tested them, and they were positive for a number of these infections that we were finding in the Gulf War veterans. Not the same kind of infection exactly, but similar types of infections. Mm-hmm. So we knew that this was going to be a major problem in the future, and I think it has been. And it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse because there really is not a lot of information about this that's around and available. So, as you mentioned, fibromyalgia is one of the main outcomes of this if it's left untreated. And so these patients with implants slowly generate problems because of their implants. Even if they're removed, they continue to have problems. And it's because of the infections. Just removing the implants doesn't get rid of the infections. Because by that time, the infections have become systemic or widespread in the body. And one of the targets of these types of infections are the peripheral nerves and the peripheral nervous system, also the central nervous system to a lesser degree. And once these nerves get infected, they become inflamed, and this causes all kinds of problems. And we've been trying to, over the years, figure out ways to mitigate this, or in addition to treating the infectious source, which takes a long time, we're also looking at ways to reduce the pain and reduce the other symptoms associated with it. So we started playing around with the membrane lipids, and the reason we were doing this had a completely different reason than this, but we were looking at mitochondrial function in patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, because patients that are fatigued have loss of mitochondrial function, which provides 80 to 90% of their energy needs. And of course, what is fatigue? I mean, it's really loss of energy, and at the cellular level, it's really loss of mitochondrial function. Now, the mitochondria are the little batteries inside our cells that provide the energy. And if they're not functioning properly, you're going to be fatigued. You're going to have all kinds of other additional problems as well. But that's one of the major outcomes of loss of mitochondrial function. So we were playing around with it, and we found that one of the things that really happen with the mitochondria is that, just like a battery, and you can consider them little batteries, if you strip the insulation off of your battery, you try and put it in your flashlight, it's not going to work.
Right.
Because it becomes grounded, it loses all the energy. In other words, it has no more insulation. The lipid membranes around the mitochondria provide a kind of an insulation to the mitochondria. And when the mitochondria do what's called oxidative phosphorylation, they actually pump protons across the inner membrane of the mitochondria, and this sets up a potential across the inner mitochondrial membrane. Now, if the lipids are damaged, this can't be maintained because leaking occurs back across the membrane, and so you can't maintain that chemical electronic potential across the membrane. So this is what we were finding in chronic fatigue syndrome patients. They were losing their mitochondrial function because they couldn't maintain this inner membrane of the mitochondria. Just like if you strip the insulation off a battery, you can't maintain the charge in the battery. It leaks out. So the problem was, how do we change these lipids around? And so we started playing around with oral formulations of lipids. And there was a company in New York that was making these at the time called Nutritional Therapeutics. And so we started playing around with their formulations. And sure enough, if we use these formulations, we could slowly, through very natural replacement processes, replace the lipids in the mitochondria. And we started using more and more of it. The more we used, the better the results were. And so we published over the years several studies with fatigue patients, age patients. When you get quite old, this happens as well. It's a natural process of aging that your mitochondria decline, and this is one way to beef them up again. So we've seen in age patients that this really helps them quite a bit. And in cases like fibromyalgia, now instead of just the mitochondria, we're dealing with the peripheral nerves. And in fibromyalgia, the peripheral nervous system fires much more easily, and that creates pain because some of these peripheral nerves are pain nerves. And just like the other peripheral nerves, when these start firing, it's hard to stop them. So one of the things that we just were trying, and we noticed in the patients that were using this to help their fatigue levels, their pain levels went down as well. So we hypothesized that what's going on here is that the lipid replacement lipids, so these are membrane lipids, not the kind of lipids that you think of when you think of trans fats and this. No, these are very particular membrane lipids that only replenish the membranes and or lipid membranes, not the other membranes that we soak up. So this type of lipid has to be extracted and purified, but it can be put in an oral supplement. And when you take these oral supplements, these lipids actually get into your body pretty easily because they're very important. And so they travel in your body and complexed and little protein complexes or as little lipid droplets, and they're picked up by cells and they're distributed throughout the membranes of the cell. And the types of lipids that we're using are called membrane lipids. They're called glycerol phospholipids. So this particular type of lipid is what is really important to repair the membranes of the mitochondria and other membranes of the cell. So when we gave people high enough quantities of this, they started to fairly quickly replace the membranes in their cells and recover activity. So they recovered mitochondrial function. They recovered, in the case of nerve cells, they recovered their resting state of the nerves, so they were less spontaneous firing of nerves, and pain levels went down in these patients. And so, to our amazement, all kinds of other things were corrected as well. For example, a lot of the patients with fibromyalgia have gastrointestinal symptoms, as well as fatigue and pain. That's another group of symptoms that goes along with the fibromyalgia. And we found that, gee, these people were feeling much better. They had much less gastrointestinal problems, much less pain. Other symptoms were slowly mitigated as well. So, all kinds of things are being corrected with these lipid replacement supplements. Now, the nice thing about these supplements are it's an all-natural, FDA-approved supplement. So they're completely natural sources. We get them mainly from plants. They're purified. They're put in in our case, we're now using wafers. And these little wafers are really neat because they kind of melt in your mouth. And we could even use these for children with autism spectrum disorders, because it's very hard to give a child with autism any kind of pill. They just spit it out. They just don't. But they love these things. They think they're getting candy or something because they have a little flavor in them, and they're nice and creamy and smooth, and they like the taste. So these are very easy to take. People don't have any problems taking them. So we're now getting people up to about 4 grams of this per day, which I think is the optimal dose. In fact, I just I've written a long review and submitted this for publication on this. We think that's the optimal level for patients. So we've kept going up a little bit each year. Now we've reached the plateau. We think we're there now. If patients take 4 of these wafers per day of what are called patented energy wafers, they get 4 grams of the lipids per day. That's what they need to repair their membranes and do it fairly quickly. And we're seeing all kinds of great results with fibromyalgia patients, enough so that we're starting a new clinical trial. And the reason we have to do a formal clinical trial on this is that, as you know, just seeing these results anecdotally or even in small studies as we've published over the years is not going to convince hardcore physicians who really believe that they've got to see very well-controlled trials before they'll believe anything that you say. So we have designed a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind crossover trial. And so this type of trial is the most complicated trial you can run, but it's also the most serious trial in terms of a clinical trial. So in this case, every patient will get the same treatment, but they'll have 2 arms of the study. In one arm, they'll receive placebo, and the other arm, they'll receive the lipid wafers. Well, they'll get wafers in both cases, but in one case, they'll get the membrane lipid wafers, which is the active ingredient. In the other case, they'll get a placebo, which it's not going to hurt them in any way, but they're not going to benefit from it. So they taste the same, they kind of feel the same, and they don't know whether they're getting the actual lipid wafer or the placebo wafer. So that's how we've organized the trial. Now, we're running this trial. We have to settle on a place to run it. So we found 3 clinics in Texas that are going to run the trial. And these are clinics in the San Antonio area. So if there's any of your listeners that are in the San Antonio area, this would be a great trial to join if they have fibromyalgia, because they'll get free treatment and they'll get free wafers for the duration of the trial. They'll even get a 6-month supply after the trial is over. So this is the way we're going to absolutely validate all of our initial studies on using these wafers to help the fibromyalgia patients and other patients as well. So in addition to fibromyalgia, which we're just starting this new clinical trial, another area that I've been personally spending quite a bit of time on is helping veterans with their chemical exposures. Yeah. Now, as you know, everything from farm workers and industrial workers and soldiers who've been in war zones and been exposed to a lot of chemicals, they take in these chemicals and they get absorbed into their body and they can't eliminate them. And they cause them all kinds of problems over time. And so we've figured out that by using at least 4 grams of these lipids per day, that actually naturally picks up these hydrophobic molecules, whether they're insecticides or herbicides or other petrochemical contaminants. They're generally held inside our tissues in what we call hydrophobic spaces. And often these are membranes or lipid droplets or other storage spaces in our cells. And what happens when you take the lipid replacement therapy wafers is that you get a huge influx of these lipids into your cells, and these lipids actually surround and pull out the chemicals out of these other spaces and slowly return these back out through the circulatory system back to the bowel. And so you eliminate them just as your normal elimination each day. You start carefully removing your chemicals. Now, the nice thing about this actually is it's a very slow process. And the reason I say that's nice is that for people who are chemically exposed, if you try and mobilize the chemicals too quickly in their systems, they get awfully sick. I mean, they just are terribly sick. They can't stand it. So generally, no matter what therapy they're on, they have to stop because they just can't stand the signs and symptoms that they're produced by their rapid mobilization. So this actually, there's a benefit to this because it brings these chemicals out very, very slowly, so they don't tend to cause problems with patients, don't even know this is going on. And so it takes a long time. It can take up to a year to totally deplete somebody of these types of chemicals from their body. But so far it's been really very effective with these veterans, and so we want to start using this in civilians that have chemical exposures as well. Mm-hmm. So that's another new thing that we're just doing right now that I think is going to have really important outcomes in the future.
And so I think the reason that what is the name of the company that makes the wafers again?
The name of the company is called Nutritional Therapeutics.
Okay.
They make this product, which is called NT-Factor Lipids, mm-hmm. and you can find this out at ntfactor.com. There's a whole website that explains all the different products. They must have many different products now where they put these mm-hmm. lipids into the products, and everything from people that have asthma to people that have fatiguing problems to people that mm-hmm. have all kinds of different problems turn out to be revolve either around mitochondrial function or around damage to membranes, cellular membranes, whether these are nerve membranes or membranes of the epithelia of the gut or other membranes, for example. And there's an added benefit of this in the long run, because we've been following patients now for years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the added benefits is that patients with coronary problems have all kinds of imbalances in their lipids. Mm-hmm. And this tends to slowly right those balances. It tends to slowly correct the lipid abnormalities that are seen in patients with pre-coronary problems. And mm-hmm. we can follow this very neatly because there's a marker in the blood called homocysteine that is one of the best markers to predict for patients having a coronary symptom, a coronary attack, hospitalization, mm-hmm. or die of coronary heart disease. This is one of the best markers for that. And what we found is that we've taken patients that have homocysteine levels in their blood in the danger zone. This is above a level of 10 micrograms per deciliter and so on. So above that level, that's a danger. So we can bring them actually down below 10 with a lipid replacement therapy. And so far, we've had hundreds of patients on this now with absolutely no cardiovascular.
That's really important. That can be very hard to fix.
Yeah, it's very hard to fix. It takes quite a while to do it, but the nice thing is that these slowly come down, so the patients mm-hmm. don't exhibit a lot of symptoms while they're slowly reducing the bad lipids from the system and also some of the other toxic materials that are in their body, which I think go along with this. So we've been having a lot of fun with this because we've touched upon so many different areas. And the next area I'm going into is diabetes, and we think that this can help diabetics as well. So there are all kinds of uses for this. In my review that I sent you recently, we listed 10 or 15 different diseases that we think we can help patients.
Well, you know, Dr. Perlmutter's recent study showing that fecal transplantation was curing adult-onset diabetes, that shows you how important the gut is. And if this affects the gut, then it would help that, maybe without the expense of fecal transplantation.
Oh, yeah, and it's much safer, too. And here's the problem with people that have gut problems. They generally, they have a leaky gut. And
right.
So they're letting bacteria and other things in the gut come into their system. And when they get in their system, they elicit inflammatory responses and all kinds of other problems as well, which I won't bother to go into. But the first thing that's noticed is an inflammatory type response. So that's responding against the types of things coming in, the toxic molecules and the microorganisms that are coming in through the leaky gut. Well, really, what is leaky gut?
Circulating immune complexes. That's what they have, circulating immune complexes.
The leaky gut is really a failure, a failure of the epithelial lining of the gut to act as a barrier to these things in our gut. And so when it becomes leaky, all kinds of things get out of the gut and get into our system. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that lipid replacement therapy does is it helps repair the epithelial barrier, because the first part of that epithelial barrier are the cell membranes of the epithelial cells.
Right.
And so if we repair those, then those cells get repaired, and then they can make a patent barrier. They can make a strong barrier even stronger. So that's one of the things that we found. And in reducing symptoms in fibromyalgia, patients go along with that. Reducing their gut symptoms goes along with that. We're repairing their gut. And by repairing their gut, it's going to help them in the long run with these other problems as well. So, again, this whole area is so exciting.
And people with chemical toxicity, in my experience, especially hydrophobic chemical toxicity that's coming off you know, new, say, new RV vehicles or new office buildings that get massive vascular inflammation. It would be, actually be the chemicals causing this incredible damage to the inside of the vessels. They can even get stroke-like symptoms or heart attack symptoms. So chemical toxicity affects the epithelial lining of the vessels. So this type of therapy would be very, very effective for repairing the vessels.
Yes, it is. So we were talking about the epithelial layer on the gut. Now you're talking also about the endothelial layer inside
same,
the blood
yeah,
vessels.
Same type of thing.
And it helps the endothelial vessels as well, because when they're damaged, they tend to retract and leave little gaps in between adjacent endothelial cells, and then things can leak out and also get in. And so those are, you know, that's a problem as well. And this, again, helps with that by repairing the membrane. So generally it repairs all the membranes of all the cells and tissues, because the lipids that get damaged, and most often they're damaged by oxidative events, damage due to free radicals and other things. Because the membrane lipids that we replace are very sensitive to that kind of damage. And so when they're damaged, then the membranes become leaky and the potential across the membrane can't be maintained. And so nerves don't function properly. Cells that pump, like the epithelial cells or the endothelial cells, don't work properly. And so all kinds of things go wrong. So this helps repair that process and return it back to a normal state. And again, it's an all-natural way to do this. Mm-hmm. These are all-natural lipids that you're found in your body already, so there's nothing new. You're not putting in a drug. You're simply replacing the natural lipids that are already there with lipids that are unmodified or undamaged due to environmental toxins or due to infections or due to chemicals or due to a number of other things that happen in our normal everyday lives. So that's the neat thing about this, is that this is an all-natural process that we have in ourselves anyway. And unfortunately, in modern living, we just swamp out our systems. Our repair systems are swamped out, and we can't do this quickly enough to repair our cells when they're damaged.
Yep.
So this helps the process along. So again, we're using what were called NT factor lipids, and if people can find out about that by going on our website, the Institute for Molecular Medicine, at www.immed.org. That's like immediate, immed.org. Or they can go to the company that produces this by going to ntfactor.com. It's ntfactor.com to find out about that. And most of the products that we're using now are the wafers, because we find that the patients, even young children, have an easier time taking these than anything else because they're not really pills. They're wafers that kind of melt in your mouth, and so they're very easy to take, and I take them daily myself. So I think it's a great, great new product. It's easy to take. It's really absolutely non-toxic. There's nothing in it that has any toxicity that we've ever found. And we've given now, patients have received over 50 or 60 million of these doses of the anti-factor in various types of wafers and tablets and so on, without any adverse events. So what can you say that? Can you say that about any drug that is on the market these days?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So that's something that is really important, is it's absolutely safe, even for pregnant women or for children or, you know, so we've never seen a problem with it. So that's the good thing about this. And it's a slow process. It slowly repairs the membranes in your cells and, of course, in your tissues and throughout your body, and slowly returns your system to normal so that your membranes can function. And our membranes are absolutely important in every aspect of cellular life. They're important in producing the energy that the cells depend on. They're important in communication. They're important in nerve transmission. They're important in just about everything that you can think of, your immune system, your every organ system that you can think of. They're just vital to our survival and our health. So it's something that's very healthy.
And when you look at protocols like Patricia Kane's protocol for, you know, IV phospholipids after heart attack, you know, which have been shown to be very effective, when the heart is in a lot of trouble, and then you provide these in high doses IV, this is very, very helpful. So that just is more evidence that, you know, vascular damage is really can be treated very effectively with phospholipid therapy.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's and again, there are other forms of this besides what we're testing right now and what we've worked mm-hmm. with. But the nice thing about the stuff that we've been working with is it's oral.
Right.
So you don't have to get the intravenous therapy. And in fact, we've found that you can get quite large doses of this
your
orally.
Heart's in such bad condition that if you don't get a heart transplant, you're going to not make it. You know,
yeah, exactly.
The real severe after heart attack. So, but you know, really, aging itself is, like you say, it's a gradual problem with the phospholipids all over the body, antioxidant, you know, from oxidation. So almost anybody over 40 would be a good candidate for getting this treatment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we consider it useful at any age because it helps peak your system in terms of its performance. Mm-hmm. But especially for people as they get older, this is important.
Yeah. And athletes, too, because athletes generate more free radicals.
Yes, absolutely.
With exercise, yeah. And they go into anaerobic metabolism, just like fibromyalgia patients do. Their aerobic gets depleted, you know, with fibromyalgia because of the mitochondrial function, and then people who are athletes because they push themselves past their aerobic mechanisms, you know.
Yeah, exactly. This is really important in that regard. We've seen this. We haven't done very many studies with athletes, but the brief ones that we've done show that we can improve their performance with this because their mitochondrial function.
You need to give this to racehorses. Seriously,
it's not a bad idea.
Seriously, I'll tell you why. Because racehorses are really at the, you know, I mean, well, I don't know how much they need. They probably need quite a bit of it, but you can put it on their feed. But you could really prove that this thing worked for athletes by giving it to racehorses.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, any animal would benefit from this. You'd have to give pretty high quantities of this to racehorses because of their weight and their gas.
But they
have
to go into anaerobic metabolism during those races.
I would think so, particularly the longer ones. Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. And they're well equipped to do that. So I think that this you're right. This actually might help them. I have no idea what the dose would be for a thoroughbred.
Right.
But I think it'd be
a lot.
You
could do it by weight. How's that?
Yeah, you could do it by weight. Sure.
Yeah.
But since there's no toxicity, you could give them quite a bit. It wouldn't
right.
affect them in any way. It'd just be a positive effect.
Yeah.
They'd like these wafers, by the way.
Yeah.
The wafers, that we have them in two forms. One is chocolate and one is berry. And either
wonderful.
One they'd like, I'm sure. So
yeah.
You can just feed your horse this, and I'm sure they'd just chuck it right down.
Yeah, that's great.
And again,
well,
you know, what I mentioned was that in autistic children, it's a real problem giving them anything because they tend to spit out pills and not want to take them. And you end up crushing the pills up and putting it in applesauce and all kinds of tricks to get them to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But they like these wafers. So we have
they
not had any problem with autistic children and the wafers.
Yeah.
So that's a real positive. And I talk to groups of parents that have autistic children. And they're very surprised that their children will even take these things, and they do like them, and they do remember that they taste good.
Yeah.
And so the next time they get them, they take them without any problem. So no problem with compliance there.
And autism is essentially a toxic illness from what we understand about it.
So. Oh, it is. And there are infections that are involved in our studies, for example, which we've published in neurosciences journals, show that autistic children are full of a lot of infections, which exacerbate the problem and make it worse. And their infections essentially have to be treated, or it's very hard to get them to recover. This helps in that regard, though, because they have other problems as well.
They all have gut problems, too.
Mitochondrial function is one of the problems that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So this helps with their mitochondrial dysfunction.
Well, isn't it interesting? Autism and silicone toxicity are both massive chemical toxicity problems that, although the, you know, it's a little bit different because the autism is primarily brain related, because that's where the insult is, but and then the silicone patient is more peripheral neuropathy, but it's so interesting the parallels between the two groups.
Well, they're both hitting the nerves, and I think that's right. The important thing is that whether it's peripheral or central nerves, really the difference is the blood-brain barrier. And
mm-hmm.
possibly one of the reasons that silicon is not in the brain of implant patients is that it's still more difficult to get it there.
Right.
On the other hand, some of the heavy metal contamination
mm-hmm.
and infections are actually brought into in developing children into the central nervous system. They're actually carried in by white blood cells.
A lot of aluminum,
nervous
and
system.
Mercury.
So,
yeah.
So they get a lot of things that sneak in. Mm-hmm. Through the blood-brain barrier and during development, and they concentrate it, and that's a problem. It's really hard getting it out, and so once it's there. So as you know, if you've treated children, it's a really difficult task to lower the toxins, the metal, heavy metals, and the infections and so on in children
mm-hmm.
with these autism spectrum disorders and other similar types of conditions. It's just really difficult.
Well, that's why we have to quit giving so many vaccines under the age of, one, probably. We need to be very careful.
Well, you know, here's the problem with, now we're giving more and more vaccines, which is not particularly good.
For non-critical problems.
Yeah, and they're given in a more truncated schedule than ever before, and sometimes they're
mm-hmm.
given as multiples at the same time. They say, well, you know, don't bother to come in every 2 weeks. I'll give them all. Give you all these injections at once.
Right.
And these kids are getting immune suppressed because of that. And that's a natural consequence of getting all these
mm-hmm.
adjuvants at once is immune suppression occurs. And this sort of leaves them wide open to infections and other problems as well. And it damages their blood-brain barrier and other
mm-hmm.
cells as well. And that's when the trouble, I think, starts.
Yep.
And so it's even though any given vaccine may be safe, it may be proved safe, if you put them all together, now all of a sudden I'm not so sure because they've never been tested that way. So when they test a vaccine, they test a vaccine and make sure it's safe. But they don't test it along with the other 28 or whatever number of vaccines that a child is going to get before their
mm-hmm.
school age. Here's the problem. When they get all these different vaccines now more and more at a time, this is weakening these young immune systems and weakening the blood-brain barriers in these young patients. And I think that's where we're going to have to be very careful about this. I'm not anti-vaccine at all, but I'm anti-vaccine ridiculous scheduling is what I'm against.
Right.
So
we need to be more
careful about how we do this.
Yeah, also, I think we need to find out more scientifically, just like MTHFR and other COMT, other detoxification defects, are exactly predicting who gets sick from leaking silicone implants. You know, these people have detoxification defects, and they could be measured before they ever get implants. And the same thing with autism patients. There are detoxification enzymes that can be measured, and if they are lacking, the sad thing is that they're lacking in families. So you see different, you know, if somebody has four children, maybe three of them will get autism. You know, that's really sad.
Yeah,
it's
very sad.
It's genetic, definitely. And you can test for it. I know I was interviewing Stephanie Marone on her book on autism, and she said that the test for the liver enzyme that is deficient in most autism patients costs $125 to test for, and that the premature fontanelle closure combined with the vaccine, because the enzyme was deficient, caused swelling. So if the fontanelles were closed prematurely, it hit the frontal lobes and created autism because of the swelling. And many parents have said that if their child gets high fevers with a vaccine, which is a sign that things are going wrong, that high doses of cod liver oil, and I'm sure, you know, other things, but a cod liver oil being a lipid will rescue these patients In other words, it can prevent the autism.
Or something like the anti-factor lipids are going to be much more superior.
Exactly. So this could be very important around the time of vaccination.
Yes.
If people start getting high fevers or cognitive changes, giving them high doses of membrane lipid replacement could really prevent autism.
It could. Yeah, it absolutely could. And furthermore, even if they start showing some of the symptoms, this does help with the removal process. So this,
right.
this does
exactly.
help. And we know that from our veterans that we've studied.
But stop the vaccines at the same time.
We know that from our veterans.
Get more vaccines.
We know that from our veterans that we've studied who have known chemical exposures and known mm-hmm. problems with chemical contamination. And we can actually slowly rid these hydrophobic chemicals from their body, but it's a long, slow process. But if you started this from the very beginning, you might be able to prevent a lot of this because
you could absolutely.
These chemicals are soaked up by the lipids, and we put them in excess for a reason, so that they will slowly remove any of the contaminants. In the case of people with mitochondrial dysfunction, we want to remove those damaged membrane lipids and slowly remove them from the body. And so we have a natural shuttle system to do this, which has evolved over our evolution as a way to remove these damaged lipids. But we can accelerate that process by using the lipid replacement therapy. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that this actually, the whole thing works, is the fact that we as evolved as hunter-gatherers, and as a hunter in the early days of the human existence, you might go up and you might be able to kill an animal, let's say, and consume the animal, but that may be the only thing you can eat for a week that has a lot of lipids. The rest of the time you may have to eat some leaves or flowers or something. So we've evolved with a system to try and capture those lipids as we eat them, and even high amounts of it. And that's where the lipid replacement therapy comes in, because we want to use very high amounts of the lipids to drive into the system and actually to pull out any of the toxic materials that are there. And so that's what it does. And it we call this method bulk flow. That's what the lipidologists have called this whole process of removal by excess lipid. And you can go back to principles of mass action and say, well, there's no reason why this shouldn't work as long as it's non-toxic. And that's the important point. It's non-toxic, so we can elevate the dose levels up to 4 and 5 grams a day without any problem whatsoever, and help these people that have chemical contamination. And we also help a lot of patients that have infection. So we're working with Lyme patients, with mycoplasma patients, with mold patients. People that have a lot of infections have a lot of contaminating toxins as well as the infection, because the infections put out toxic materials. And so we can
They also affect the cell membrane. I mean, intracellular infections, by definition, cause cell membrane deficits. I actually took a course at Johns Hopkins just on cell membranes, you know. And so we know that the intracellular infection is causing changes to the cell membrane to make the immune system attack the cell.
Well, that goes back to where I started, which was the fluid mosaic membrane. And that's in the textbooks. You open up any medical school textbook, and it's right there, the model that I published with Singer in 1972, the fluid mosaic membrane model. So that's my background, is actually membranes and proteins and lipids of membranes, which is where I got my start. And this is what we've continued on with in many ways. And I spent a lot of time working with cancer patients and finding that their membranes were modified as well. We didn't at that time concentrate so much on the lipids, but now we've gone back to using the lipids as a way to modify the membranes of cancer patients as well. So patients, for example, receiving chemotherapy, it's really quite hard for some patients that get these very strong oxidizing agents that cause a lot of normal damage. And these are the adverse events or adverse effects of chemo and radiotherapy. But we've been able to reduce those effects by using membrane lipid replacement. We don't affect the killing, because that occurs very quickly, but then there's a long stretch of time after the killing of cancer cells where the normal cells get damaged by these chemotherapy and radiotherapy treatments. And we can mitigate that normal cell damage by using membrane lipid replacement. And so we've conducted studies on this to show that, and so we're And I published a number of papers on this now, and we're very convinced that any cancer patient should be taking these supplements because they will help them.
It protects the gut.
Oh, absolutely, it protects the gut.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we'll be measuring in our fibromyalgia trial in Texas is looking at people's gut and seeing how this is reducing the symptoms of the gut that practically every fibromyalgia patient has these problems. And so this is a huge boon to patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome and other fatiguing illnesses, Gulf War illness, and so on.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we've been finding and publishing on, and I'm absolutely convinced that this is an area that is something that patients can do for themselves. These are not prescription drugs. They can buy this over the counter and take care of this problem themselves. And so this is a very good self-help way to recharge your membranes, recharge your mitochondria, and lead a better lifestyle.
There's also some evidence that Alzheimer's is either from cyanobacter, from fish, contaminated fish, or organophosphate chemicals to kill warble flies and non-organic beef. These are both toxic illnesses, so I'd be interested to see, since there's so much membrane lipid in the brain, if we couldn't use this to prevent Alzheimer's.
This might be a way to do that. We don't know. That's one area I have an interest in, but I haven't been able to get any funds to do any studies. Doing Alzheimer's studies are really quite expensive, and so that's something in the future that I'd like to do. And maybe the
I think that Alzheimer's patients are you could predict through a detoxification defect. Okay, I think there's actually a detoxification defect that occurs that doesn't allow for these processing of chemicals. And it looks like prion disease, but it's not prion disease. It's actually the organophosphate chemical.
Yeah, I think that's the initial parts of it, which people are not focusing on at all. They're focusing on later steps, which is the plaque formation and some of the proteins that get twisted or end up in plaques outside the neurons. But that's really a late stage of the disease process.
It's very late. It wouldn't be treated then. It would be more preventative.
Yeah, the early stages are the ones that we should be focusing on, and that's something I think lipid replacement therapy, or membrane lipid replacement as we call it, would be most beneficial. And so that's something that we would like to see if people with markers might be at risk for getting Alzheimer's disease, if we can put that off by taking membrane lipid replacement.
Yeah, I think we actually have to differentiate these different detoxification defects, because I think that the diseases that result from them are actually grouped. You know, I wonder if, like, COMT doesn't result in an increased risk of Alzheimer's if you're eating non-organic beef, you know, those kind of things.
Well, it's very insidious because these events happen over the span of years. They don't happen very quickly.
Right, that's right.
They happen very, very slowly. And so by the time people notice that there's a problem, it's really too late to do anything about it.
I agree. I think that's very true.
That's a good reason for prophylactically taking the anti-factor lipids for the rest of your life, just in case. So I know I'm going to be taking this for the rest of my life. So, you know, my father was 93 years old when he first went on it, and I didn't give him optimal doses that we now know are optimal, but it really improved his life, and he lived another 5 years, which was amazing considering his condition.
Yeah, that's way outside of normal range. Yeah.
So I'm a strong believer in this for elderly patients. That they need to be on these lipid replacement. It's so easy for them to do. So it's something that I think people really need to do this and get on this as soon as they can and continue it for the rest of their lives. So it's just one of those things that I'm going to do, and I'm urging everyone else to do it as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm going to definitely start this. I think it's great. And use it for my patients, too.
Well, I think there's the payoff that you'll see immediately, because for some things like mitochondrial function and gut leakiness and things like that, you can slow that or stop that fairly quickly. And that's something that you'll be able to see some, or your patients will be able to see real benefit, and will be able to see it fairly quickly. The more long-term events, like in cardiovascular disease, these take time, but in a study that we've been following now, we mentioned the homocysteine levels coming back to the normal range in patients that had abnormal ranges. We've had no cardiovascular events in those patients. There are about 68 of them that we're following. And for their age, we should be seeing some of these events, and we're not seeing them. So this the anti-factor lipids are protecting these patients and protecting them from coming down with cardiovascular events. So I think that's something that is really important, and we really need to stress that. So there's another benefit. So for patients that take this, there are all kinds of different benefits, from their mitochondrial function, fatigue leading to fatigue, to their membranes, leading to nerve problems and vascular problems, to their uptake, and to also to chemical decontamination and toxin removal and so on. So there's so many different aspects of this that the anti-factor lipids help with that it's just an amazing new approach. I'm really excited about it.
That's great. Well, would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. People can contact me at the Institute for Molecular Medicine. We're located in Huntington Beach, California. The contact, they can go on the website at www.immed.org. My email address is on there. They can send me an email, for example. I'm on a lot of, a few Facebook groups that I help people with a number of interesting problems that revolve around membrane lipid replacement. They can find these lipids at ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com, and there are all a number of different formulations of these lipids. Ones that I like myself are called patented energy. These are the chewable wafers of the of that, but they're in a number of other products as well, like healthy aging and other products. They have a product with CoQ10, which I think is really useful for cancer patients and any patients receiving therapy that might destroy or knock out the CoQ10, the important cofactor in their mitochondria. And their products that, for asthma patients. There's even a product for losing weight, because it turns out one of the interesting byproducts of this is that you're less inclined to eat fatty and sweet foods if you take these anti-factor lipids. They tend to kind of quash that urge to consume fatty and sugary foods, which is really
important. So you lose weight.
You can actually naturally lose weight with these, but it takes time. It's a very slow process, so this is not a quick weight loss, but they put it into a weight loss product with a starch blocker to block the uptake of starches and sugars, and then with the anti-factor lipids to help repair the gut, which is a problem in a lot of people that can't lose weight, and also it helps quench some of the urge to eat fatty and sugary foods. So we've actually published a study on weight loss where people have slowly, very slowly lost weight, and they haven't gained it back. So the nice thing about this is that once they get on this and they stay on a product like this, they don't have a tendency to bounce back and gain large amounts of weight again, which most diets will lead to, because it doesn't repair anything. Most diets, you know, they may keep you from eating certain foods or not allow you to, you know, to feel the urge to eat, but as soon as you get off them, wham, you go right back and start eating again, and because you have that urge to eat again. So the anti-factor lipids tend to lower that urge to eat fatty and sugary foods, and so I think that's one of the reasons why it's very useful.
That sounds wonderful. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been very educational, and I certainly look forward to trying it myself and in my patients.
Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna you send me an email with your address. I'll have some personal supplies sent down. I'd love to have you try it because I'm sure you'd be putting all your patients on it fairly quickly.
I'm sure I will. Thanks so much, Dr. Nicholson, for joining us today, and thanks so much for all of your research. I think it's very important for the listening audience to understand that toxic chemical problems are very prevalent in our society today. They're not recognized by the medical field, not treated by the medical field. And
they're going to get worse.
Dr. Nicholson, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they're going to get worse.
And they're going to get worse, and so it's the responsibility of the patient to do the research in this and to treat themselves with the different detox methods that are effective for them. There's two different kinds of chemicals, as Dr. Nicholson alluded to, the hydrophobic chemicals, which are very difficult to get out of the body. They're the ones that you can smell, the aromatic chemicals. They're also the neurotoxins and carcinogens. The hydrophilic chemicals dissolve in water, and they're more like arsenic, heavy metals, and you know, they're easier to get out of the body. But this is very important to understand detox and to have some sort of program for elimination of both hydrophobic and hydrophilic chemicals, done at least, you know, on a yearly basis, if not several times a year.
Well, this is certainly the product to help with the most difficult problem.
Yes, the hydrophobic, absolutely.
Toxic molecules. Yeah. And so that's what we've been using it for and having really great success with it.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you very much for joining us, and we've been talking with Dr. Garth Nicholson about membrane lipid replacement in all sorts of medical diseases, as well as just for general health and anti-aging and weight loss. Please try this and see if it doesn't improve your health. Thanks so much for joining us, Garth. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and have any time.
All righty. Well, we'll have you back on soon.
Okay, bye.
This is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.